I want to tell you all the Bible story, and hopefully you don't know it. There's a wonderful story in the Bible about four men and four trees. Now that'll set you thinking. Everybody, all the adults are thinking, now what is that story? Well, I'm going to tell that story to you. It's a wonderful Bible story. It's about four men and four trees. Now, as I tell this story today, I will be needing a little bit of help from the boys and girls. That's why I'm down a little bit near to you, because there'll be certain times during the service that I'll stop and I'll just do that. And I will need you to repeat what I have just said. For example, today's story is about four trees and four... Brilliant. Okay, today's story is about four trees and four... Slightly better. Okay, right. We'll work on that. By the time we're finished, we'll be shouting it from the rafters. It'll be really good. So, good attention. Watch in the front. Then we'll begin. Somebody has been counting. I don't really know how they've done it. They probably use computers and satellite imaging. But somebody's been counting, and there are 3 trillion trees on the planet. Now, that's very hard to say. But there are 3 trillion trees on the planet. And that means that every single one of us, if they're all equally divided out, and we all get our fair share, you'll be going home today with 470 trees. That'll be really good, because that means you boys and girls will have a completely different tree to climb every day and hopefully not fall out of it. That means you can save a couple of those trees and build a couple of tree huts and hide away and keep all your stuff up there. That means you've still got a couple of trees left over, and you can maybe get a big tire and a bit of rope and make a big tree swing and pretend to be Tarzan. That'd be good, wouldn't it? What? And hopefully there'll still be a few trees left over, and those trees may be filled with lovely fruit like apples and pears and plums, and you can have a good old tuck in. But I don't want to speak about those 470 trees. I want to go back to 4 trees and 4...
Men.
We're getting better. Okay. 4 trees and 4 men. Now, as I tell you this story, I'm going to use one letter in the alphabet to describe each of these 4 men. And it'll always, always be the same letter. It'll be the letter A. What letter is it?
A.
What? Sounds like my granny whenever I'm speaking to her. Okay. Well, always the letter A. I've also brought with me, to help us to concentrate, a tree. I brought a tree with me. I'll pop this Bible just here for a second. I was out in the garden yesterday, and I brought one of my trees in. Didn't bring the whole lot, of course, but I brought the top of it. I had to get my way up to the top to get that bit of tree for you. Okay, so we'll pop that bag just there. And I want to talk about these 4 men and these 4 trees. Okay? And I want you to really listen, because at the end I might ask a couple of questions at the door. Okay? So, the first of these 4 men that we read off in the Bible is found at the beginning of the Bible. And this particular man that we read off, his name is Adam. And boys and girls, we discover that Adam is hiding behind a tree. That's what he's doing. He's hiding behind a tree. And he's hiding behind a tree because of this word here. Our first word that we have today. What's that word? Shout it out. That's too loud. A wee bit softer. Ashamed. What's the word?
Ashamed.
Ashamed. You were ashamed to shout out, weren't you? Okay. He was hiding behind a tree because he was ashamed. And boys and girls, he was ashamed for a simple reason. What had happened was this. God had created Adam and Eve, and they had lived in perfect harmony with God, in perfect fellowship. We forget about that part so quickly. And for a while, there was great peace and communion and happiness and joy. But sadly, temptation and sin came in, and both Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And everything suddenly changed forever. And we discover that Adam realized that he had sinned. He felt it within himself, the guilt and the wrongdoing. And we discover that he runs away and he hides. And there he is, hiding behind the trees, ashamed. Didn't want to face the consequences. Didn't want to have to give answer to what he had done wrong. And he knew God was coming. And there he was, hiding behind a tree. Now, things haven't changed very much since Bible times, because I would know that maybe you guys, maybe out in the playground, running about playing, and somebody does something they shouldn't do, and somebody says, "I'm telling the teacher," and the next thing you're away hiding. Or maybe you have a little brother or sister at home, and they're always telling on you. And you've done something wrong, and they say, "I'm telling mummy and you." And the next thing you're away upstairs, hiding under the bed. Wrong place, first place to look, don't be one there. Or maybe there's a wonderful ornament up on the mantelpiece in your house. Your mummy's favourite. And you have a box full of toys. You have all the toys. And the toys are spilling out of the box. But look at that ornament. I could have some fun with that. But you've got all these toys. And you've played with them. Lots of. But look at that ornament. Mummy's in the kitchen. She's busy. She'll not be in for ages. Well, just play with it for a little while. Sure, she'll not know. And you're having the ornament down 2 minutes to. It's broken. It's all in pieces. You don't leave it lying there and dance all around it. You hide it away. You cover up. You don't want to face the consequences. And you're just like this man Adam. There he is, hiding behind a tree because he was ashamed. Let me tell you, sin always brings shame. That's the first man. Let's move on very quickly to the second man. We read about him a little bit further on in the Bible. You read about him in the New Testament. His name is Nathanael. Nathanael. What's his name? I was really worried about that one. That's a big long name. His name was Nathanael. I'm glad Uncle Richard's here with a big deep voice, Nathanael. Okay, Nathanael, he was there, but he wasn't hiding behind a tree. Boys and girls, when you read about Nathanael, he was one of the disciples, by the way. He was sitting under a tree. Must have been a hot day. Maybe he was getting a bit of shade. He was chilling out, taking it easy, having a good old time. And his friend Philip came running up as fast as he could. And Philip said, "Nathanael, do you remember down in the synagogue when the scriptures were opened?" These were two Jewish men, you see. They'd frequented God's house very often. And he said, "Do you remember when the scriptures were opened and we often read and heard about the prophecies of a Messiah coming, a Savior for the world?" Nathanael, get up from under that tree. "I have met him today. That prophecy's come true. He is alive. He's here. Let's go and see him." And the two fellows, they tore off down the road to go and see the Messiah, to see the Savior. And boys and girls, whenever the Lord Jesus met Nathanael, Nathanael was this word here. It's a different word. He was astonished. He was astonished. What was he?
Astonished.
I'll tell you why. He was astonished for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons was this. Whenever the Savior seen him, the Savior said to Nathanael, "I saw you under that tree." That tree was away, far away, but I saw you under that tree. There's a lesson for us all. The Savior, being the Son of God, co-equal with God, God in every way, is all-seeing and all-knowing. There's a little verse in the Bible, and it goes like this: "Thou, God, seest me." I wonder what the Lord has seen today already in your life. I wonder what he's seen. And he saw Nathanael sitting under the tree, but that wasn't the most astonishing thing. The Savior went on to say, he pointed right at that man, he said to him, "I see that you are an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." That's a strange word, guile. Don't use that much today. We don't run around saying to kids, "That wee fellow's full of guile." You would say he's full of naughtiness, mischief. But the Savior said there was no mischief, naughtiness in this man. The Savior was able to look right into his heart and life and see a young man who was trying to live a life that was pleasing and honorable and upright and godly before the Lord. You see, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And as I look at you boys and girls today, some of you have beautiful hair like me. And some of you are dressed really snazzy. And I even seen Superman there for a while. He's got the gear on. But God's not interested in all the outside. It's what's in here. God looketh on the heart. And I wonder, what does he see today when he looks upon our hearts? Does he see a heart that has been cleansed? That old heart of stone has been removed and a heart of flesh? The Bible talks about those who know not the Savior as having hearts of stone. That's something to say. Imagine going out with some girl and saying, you have a heart of stone. You would never see her again. But we're all the same. But the Lord has promised in forgiveness to take away that hard, stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? Rub just the back of your hand with your finger like that. You mums and dads can do it too. I know you're busting too. And now, if that's not making you happy, just do that down the side of your cheek. Now, that's flesh. Now, some of you are going, that's just as hard as stone, but that's not my fault, that's your fault. That should be lovely and soft and gentle. And that's the heart that the Savior will give you if you come to him. And there was Nathanael, absolutely astonished that the Savior saw him under the tree, could see all of his life open before him like a book. I'm sure he was glad that he was living as he ought to be living. He wasn't like this other boy. He wasn't hiding and he wasn't ashamed. Let's move on very quickly to the third man. We read about him a little further on in the Bible. And he wasn't hiding behind a tree and he wasn't under a tree, boys and girls. He was up the tree. There he is, up the tree. There he goes, up to the top. Yoo-hoo! At the top of the tree. Do you know what his name was? What was his name shouted out? Great. That's a spokesperson for the whole side. His name was Zacchaeus. What was his name? Zacchaeus. That's better. Boys and girls, Zacchaeus, he was up the tree. Now, have you all heard the story of Zacchaeus? Let me see a show of hands. These ones haven't been to Sunday school ever behind there. Okay. Quite a few, so I need to be very careful when we tell this story because no, it can happen. If I leave any bits out, you kids will all be cross at me at the door. And so we'll have to try and make sure we get the whole story in. And we're going to do it very quickly. Boys and girls, if Zacchaeus lived today and he lived around your way, your mum and dad would say to you, don't you go near that man. Keep away from him. He is trouble with a capital T. And so he was. He was an awful man. The Bible just lays it out as it was. There was no cover up. There was no gloss. This man was a liar and a cheat and a thief. And most of his wickedness was met out upon the poor. Now I would know you guys would go to school and very often, maybe in school you would have charity events. Maybe you have a no uniform day in school. Or maybe an eat all the buns you can day in school. That's a good day. Or a walk around the playground for miles and miles to get sponsorship. And you get that money and you give it to the needy. Isn't that right? Give it to a good cause and it makes you feel really good. But not this man. This man was very, very bad to those who were in need. The very poorest in society he leached onto and he robbed them left, right and centre. You see, he worked for the Roman authorities. He gathered in tax money from the people. But he always took more than he should have. And nobody could say a word because behind there were two big Roman soldiers with their swords ready to go if you didn't pay up. And so there it was, this little man Zacchaeus, telling lies, defrauding the people, taking what he shouldn't have taken. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. But suddenly one day he heard that the Savior had come into his city, Jericho. Not only had he come into his city, he was in his district. Not only was he in his district, but somebody said he was coming up the street. I don't know whether Zacchaeus had a shop or just a little table, but he got everybody away. He shooed the whole lot of them. He got the money safely tucked away because that was his priority. And out he went into the street to see the Savior. He'd heard about him. He wanted to see him. And out he went into the street. Too late. It was too late. The crowd had gathered and there he was stuck at the back. And he wasn't very tall and he couldn't see a thing. And nobody liked him and nobody let him through. And he couldn't see. Not very nice whenever there's something exciting going on you can't see. It's a bit like church sometimes on a Sunday. There's a woman in front of you with a big hat on, and she moves her head this way, and you can't see the poor man, and you want to go bang with a hat. Isn't that right? And he couldn't see a thing, but he wasn't beat. And he saw a sycamore tree, and the next thing, up he went, up into the tree. And there he was, up the tree. You can see everything from the top of a tree. Who's ever been up a tree? Okay, did you make it down okay? You must have, you're here. Okay, up the tree he was, and you can see everything. And down the street, there the Savior was coming. Crowds all around him. And the Savior just stopped right at the foot of that little tree. And he said something absolutely remarkable. He said, Zacchaeus. What was remarkable about that? Sure, that was his name. But they'd never met. You see, the Lord Jesus knew this man by name. He wasn't just a number. Let me tell you, you're only a number on your medical card. You're only a number on your bank card. You're only a number on your driving license. You're only a number in school, P1, P2, P5, P6. But not with the Lord. He knows us all by name. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That was the only sermon that man ever got. And he responded, and he came. And now that's going to be a big indictment upon a lot of people. And maybe some of those people will be here. And on the great judgment day, the Lord will look upon you, and you have been right through Sunday school. And you've heard the message of the gospel time and time again. And you've sat in meetings like this. And you've sat through very long sermons. And you have heard the message of the gospel time and time again. That man didn't get a long sermon. That man didn't sit through Sunday school. That man, the sermon was very short. It was just one line. Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That was the sermon that he got. And he obeyed. You have sat through hundreds of services and yet you sit in disobedience. And you go out as you come in and you have no time and you don't heed the call. And there's a man and he came down. And we're not told what was said behind closed doors, but what a change. Wonderfully. Eternally, marvelously changed, saved forever. And it was evidenced in what he said and what he did. Let's move on very quickly. Our time is gone. Here's the word. Do you want the word for him as well before I go on? Better give it to you. Hold on a second here. Me writing it all out and putting it all on the computer and forgot about it. He was that word there. He was accepted just as he was. That's good news. Let me tell you, no matter how far you've gotten from God, no matter how low you've sank, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what you have done, it doesn't go outside the scope and the bounds of God's mercy and grace. And that man, just like you, can be accepted just as you are. The Savior didn't say to him, come down and tidy up your business affairs and I'll come to your house. No. Sometimes that's how we feel. We think, oh yes, we ought to be a Christian, but I would have to do this in my life, and I would have to do that in my life, and I would have to do the other thing, and then I could come. But you're really putting the horse before the cart. The Lord says, you just come now as you are, and I'll sort out all the rest. And I'll put things right. That's the third man, or fourth man, where time's nearly gone. I'll put that just up there. We don't need that so much now. This is the man I want you to really listen. This is the most important. We have a man who was behind a tree. We have a man who was under a tree. We have a man who was up a tree. And the fourth man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about him in the Bible. We read that he was upon the tree. Now, what do I mean by that? Very simple. The Bible tells us the story of the crucifixion. That old wooden cross, I've just said it, was made out of wood. And the wood comes from a tree. And very often the cross is called the tree of Calvary. And the Savior bled and suffered and died upon the tree, the cross of Calvary. That cross was designed as a punishment in Bible times by the Roman authorities for people who stepped out of line. Anybody who was a murderer or a thief who rose up against the state, they would have been publicly executed so that everybody else could stand and watch and go, I won't let that happen to me. I'll make sure I'm good. And it was the reserve of the criminal, of the murderer, of the thief. You know the story of the cross. The Savior, he hung between two thieves. They were getting their just deserts. But the Bible makes it very clear that the Savior never sinned. And when he never sinned, he never did anything wrong against anybody. And so there he was being crucified by the Roman authorities for crimes that he didn't commit. It was a trumped up charge. But the Bible makes it very clear that he died for your sins and he died for mine. He took our place. That's why he was upon the tree. And he was upon the tree for this really big word here. I'm going to show you this word. It's really big. It took me ages. I had to go and get my dictionary to find out how it's spelled and everything. But he died upon the tree to make atonement for you and for me. That's the word beginning with A to describe the Savior. To make atonement for you and for me. Now, if you were in school tomorrow and you were doing your English comprehension or your story writing and you slipped that word in, you would just get 100% straight away. Because that's a really big word. And I'm never very keen in really big words. Because, first of all, you use a lot of ink out of your pen. And second of all, there's a good chance you'll spell it wrong. So what we're going to do, we're going to take this word and we're going to make it a little bit smaller. And we're going to take a bit off it. So if you've got your scissors, get your scissors ready. Everybody. Somebody has told these kids beforehand, sit really good and don't move the whole way through the service. That's what's happened here, I'm telling you. And I want you to take your scissors and I want you to cut the back end off this word. Cut, 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 cut. Okay, let's have it done. And let's change it. The Savior was upon the tree to atone for you and for me. That doesn't really make it any easier. That doesn't really give us any more insight to what that was all about. Let's just change it one last time. And what I'm going to do this time, very simply, I need you to watch this very carefully. I'm going to flip this little chart around. It's going to be completely different, but it's going to be exactly the same. What do you think of that? Have you ever seen that before? You're going to see it this morning. All these people at the top there craning their necks looking over. Can you even see that? It's like an eye test chart, isn't it? Okay, let's go. I'm going to change it now. If you're going to do any blinking, do all your blinking now. Get it out of your system because I'm just going to change it one time. You ready for this? The Savior suffered and bled and died upon the tree to make us at one with God. You see, in our sin, as we are, the Bible says very clearly that we are the enemy of God. We have offended Him. We do not have the smile of God upon us. We do not have His blessing upon us. In fact, we are in judgment. John 3 says, if you don't believe, you are condemned already. You're sitting under condemnation. But the Savior suffered and bled and died upon the tree of Calvary so that you and I can be at one with God. We can be at peace with God. We can be reunited with Him. Let me tell you the first time I really understood that. Whenever I was a little boy of 10, it was a Sunday night. I had left this church. I had gone home. I had heard again and again and again the need of salvation. And it had been coming, drawing closer and closer to my heart. Do you know what I was hearing? I was hearing that call that Zacchaeus heard. And boys and girls, as I went home that night, we would have a little time before we went to bed of what we call family altar. My father would have read some scriptures. Both I and my sister would have kneeled just there at the fire, knees on the old lino, front of the sofa, and we would have prayed the Lord's Prayer. I had no interest. That was just a waste of time to me. I couldn't wait to get through those prayers. In fact, many a night I went through those prayers like a machine gun. And I'd be halfway up the stairs before the rest is finished. only to find a big hand grabbing me and bringing me back down. But not on that night. I wasn't running away that night. The Lord in mercy caused me to run to Him and to seek His forgiveness. And that night, for the first time ever, as I went to bed and the light went out and lay in the darkness, having had many other nights where it had been going through my mind, that night I had peace because seeking the Lord for forgiveness, I was suddenly at one with God. Do you have that peace? Do you have that peace today? If you don't have that peace, you know, there's a Savior who has given us all for you that you can have that peace. He's not asking you to clean up your life. That'll come afterwards. But He's asking you to come. Let me tell you, you don't need to be like that first man. You don't need to be hiding away and be ashamed. Oh yes, you ought to be ashamed of your sin, but it doesn't need to be a permanent state. You don't even need to be like the second man. You ought to know that the Lord is all-seeing and all-knowing. Listen, you can be like that third man. You can just come and be accepted as you are because of the blessed fourth man, the God man, who died that we could be at one with God. Are you at one with God today? Oh, I trust that you are. I want to thank you so much for listening so well, and I'm going to hand back over to your minister, because there's some other things need to be done before the meeting closes. Thank you very much.
Well, can we thank Robert very much for that story today? We trust that if you today are not at one with God, that you will.
Good man, big shake. There you are.
And Sophia. Isaac.
Well done, Sophia. Good girl. There you go. Good man, Isaac. What's that there? That's a good job.
Jack.
Superman. Good man.
Good man, Jack. There you are. Good man. Good man. There you are.
Out.
Well done, Alice. Good girl.
Thank you.
There you are. Lovely manners.
Darcy. I'm having a dig out.
Well done, Darcy. Good girl. There you are. Okay.
And Corey and Eliza.
There you are. Good man. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Good girl. That's super. That's great. Okay, that's them all, is it? Okay. Well, let's just close our meeting a little word of prayer. I trust to see you back again this evening. And if you can make it out to Hollywood, do come there as well. We have something different for everybody in all these services. We're not just a tape recorder. I'm not going to go through the same thing. So I trust that you'll be able to make it out to those other services as well. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we ask of thee, just in the closing moments of the meeting, that you'll speak on to each of our hearts. We thank thee for the wonderful man of Calvary, the one who bled and suffered and died, the one who took our place, the one who calls us, and the one who loves us. Help us, O Lord, today to see our need, and to see our wickedness, and to see, O Lord, our waywardness. Draw us unto thyself. Bless these boys and girls. Remember the Sunday school staff and the superintendent. Continue, Lord, to increase the work. Give us a future. Give us a generation of boys and girls that will grow into men and women who love the Lord. And to that end, we ask that thou would just separate us now and with thy favor and in thy blessing, and help us to remember this thy day and to keep it in a way that's pleasing unto thee. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.